You have one of the coolest jobs on the planet, I'm going to be honest. You're a fourth generation big cat wrangler. How did you get your start?
You know, it's a family thing. It's just been in the blood. From the time I was a little kid, my dad, grandpa had me outside around animals. They were involved in some mountain lion things. And so, you know, having that knowledge there, when it came time to choose a career path, wildlife biology was just the obvious route.
What do people most often misunderstand about big cats?
I think one of the big misconceptions about big cats is that, you know, they're going to eat your babies. You know, they're big, they're bad, they're dangerous. Certainly they're equipped to be big and bad, and they deserve definitely a high level of respect. But for the most part, you know, they want to leave us alone. You know, when we talk about here in the United States, cougars, for example, you know, they're secretive, they're shy, they really don't want anything to do with us. You know, the stat I give to folks on mountain lions is that you're more likely to be struck by lightning twice than be attacked by a mountain lion or a cougar. So really, you know, when we get those opportunities to see them out there, I think folks need to take them for what they are. Just a rare, unique opportunity. Enjoy it. Be smart, obviously, but enjoy it for what it is, because they don't happen very often.
Now, what's involved in being smart? I mean, I've heard stories about what you're supposed to do if you encounter a bear in the wild or a wolf or some kind of wild dog. What would you have to keep in mind if you met a big cat in the wild?
A lot of it depends on proximity. If it's far away, you know, sit down and watch it. Enjoy it. You know, take advantage of what you're seeing. If it's close in proximity, talk to it. I always tell everybody, all the wild animals I run into, if they're in close proximity, I talk to them. Let them know I'm there. Make them aware. Never run. Never turn your back. If an animal is aggressive towards you, especially with cats, it's a bluff factor. You got to call a bigger bluff. You got to get loud, make yourself big. You know, those things, although they just don't happen very often. Usually when people see mountain lions or cougars, it's a fleeting glimpse as it disappears, and it's probably been watching you for a while, and it's not that it's stalking you down as prey. It's just that it's a cat. It's innately curious, and it wants to know what's going on, you know, why you're in its habitat, what are you doing? And so they're curious. They follow, they hang around, but they very, very rarely stalk and attack people.
That's interesting. Now, I was watching a clip from last year's Big Cats Week and the plastic box that you sat in to observe them. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that experience was like?
Yeah, kind of crazy.
I bet.
You know, that was a really unique opportunity to be that close. I mean, a lot of times we use remote cameras, we film things, we see things, you know, and TV doesn't give the whole feel of what we had there. I mean, obviously we could see things very close. We could see the facial expressions. You could see the eyes dilate, but it was the sounds and smells that went with it too. I mean, we heard the lions. You could hear the growls, the roars, the snarls, but you could smell the dust. You could smell the lions. You could smell the blood. Not necessarily something that I'd probably go do again, but for that once in a lifetime to be so close and, you know, be part of that situation, kind of special.
I bet. What is work for you on a more daily basis?
The bulk of what I do is as a consultant, as a wildlife capture specialist. You know, I'm hooking up with different research organizations out there, different agencies who are looking to study and learn more about these animals. And so my job is to come in, train local biologists, local rangers on how to safely capture, immobilize, and radio collar these animals. You know, when we talk about conservation, we talk about management, it's really tough to do that correctly if we don't know anything about what we're doing. So thus comes in the science, the GPS collars, and being able to learn. And that's a key part for people to note, that it's not just something really cool to see on TV and entertain. This is actual work on the ground to make sure we have these species for a long, long time.
What is involved in trapping a big cat?
It's not a simple process to trap big cats. We just don't go out and go, here, kitty, kitty, and we deal with big wild animals. So we are invasive when we do this. You know, whether we're using foot snares, and these are modified foot snares to make sure that the animal's safe, or whether we use hounds to chase an animal up a tree and hold it at bay till we get there and we dart it and climb up the tree and rope it up and lower it down. Safety is our number one priority, not only for ourselves, but for the animal. And, you know, when we have these animals on the ground, again, we're invasive. You know, we're it's pretty rough and tumble, you know, to dart an animal and pull it out of a tree and put a radio collar on it. We take blood, we weigh it, we measure, we poke, we prod. So we need to respect the animal and the fact that when we have it, we get as much information as we can, and then we get it on its feet safely and let it go out there and do its thing and let those collars teach and tell us, you know, answer these questions that we have so we can do things correctly.
What is the most poignant or profound experience you've ever had personally in your work?
You know, I've worked with a lot of different big cats. Probably the one for me that I think defined a lot of my career and, you know, put a lot of things in perspective was when we went to Afghanistan and we caught and radio collared the first snow leopards there. And so, you know, number one, you're looking for an endangered species that's on a huge landscape. I mean, the Himalayas, they're enormous. And the cat is so perfectly camouflaged and there's so few of them. And to be able to get there and have the success of catching and radio collaring snow leopards and, you know, seeing one of the rarest cats on the planet, certainly the most elusive. And then to work with local biologists there who have dedicated their lives in a way so far beyond what I've done. I mean, I weighed the risks of going to Afghanistan. Obviously, we know why Afghanistan's dangerous. You know, I go there for a month and think, oh, man, I'm making such a great sacrifice. What a great contribution. And then I meet these local guys. Their families don't even know what they do for a living because if the Taliban finds out they're associated with an American NGO, they're going to hunt down and destroy their families. So you look at the sacrifice, the commitment that individuals make to preserve their natural resources, to be part of change. You kind of take a step back and you sit there in awe a little bit and you're like, wow. And so to be associated with people like that, you know, I count my blessings every day for the folks I've been able to work with. They're the best in the business, certainly the most talented, and they're making incredible change in the world.